Blog Talk Radio.
Down to the name, where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
What's going on? It's your boy, Yahuwah Side, holding it down. Shabbat shalom to everybody out there listening in. Oh, man, it's going down. We got a wonderful show lined up. You're listening to The Way on Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm so excited, man. We got an awesome lineup. We're going to pray it up real quick, and then we're just going to dive into it, and we're going to get going. Father Yahuwah, we thank you today for Shabbat. We pray that that everyone listening, Father, would just get understanding out of the show, Father, and your word will go forth. We thank you in Yahushua HaMashiach's name. So we want to. There's a lot going on right now in Israel and Jerusalem, and I came across a report. You know, current news report. It's called the JC. It's entitled The Middle East Peace Talks in London in a London Kitchen. Here's the article. The article came out August 18th, 2011. Secret peace talks between Israeli President Shimon Peres and Mohammed Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, took place in London, the JC came revealed. The encounter was hosted over a dinner by UK President Pojo. It says at his London home. It is modeled that the secret negotiations arranged by late lawyer Lord Mishkaw and Mr. Peres and King Hussein in advance of the peace treaty between Israeli and Jordan in 1994. There has been a considerable speculation that the secret negotiations, but the JC can confirm that the meeting took place in March during Mr. Abbas' official visit to UK. No representative in the UK governor of the Israeli embassy were present during the meeting, which was conducted under the highest levels of security. Although the JC understands that the Foreign Office was aware it took place and gave it its blessing. The UK governor lying in the peace Middle East will ultimately come to the direct negotiations between Israeli and Palestinians, and that such freelance incentives should be encouraged from a distance. Mr. Abbas arrived in London on March 7th and held meetings with David Cameron the next day. The visit coincided with the upgrade of Palestinian delegations in London to a diplomatic mission. Mr. Peres flew in secret in London for the talks. Mr. Zaldukas is the chairman of IBCOM, the British-based Israeli advocate organization, but the dinner was hosted at his personal capacity. His owners of the private investment group, Tamiris, makes him the British richest man, and him and his wife are reinventing art collections. Various sources close that Mr. Aboukides, it says, confirmed his involvement in the heart of the process. Mr. Zaboukides, it says, has also acted as an intermediary between the negotiations between Israeli and the President Bashar Assad, it says, before the events in Syria escalated. The closest advisor of Mr. Peres in Mr. Abbas was present during the negotiations with Israeli. Sources suggest that the meeting took place on a series of four between the two men. Mr. Abukades was available for comment. In the 90 secret meetings held with Victor Mishkan, Home considered a battle into hammering out the peace deal between Israeli and the Jordan and providing a model of the latest negotiations. At a crucial point in the talks, two principal players were left alone to talk about the coincidence. The way it worked out was one says that was one given to the seat a tea towel, and the other did the wash up, so to speak, said one source close to the process. The degree of supremacy surrounding the four meetings between the two leaders was not even some of Mr. Perez, most senior aside, were aware that they had to meet at Mr. Abokadeh's home in London. Senior government sources confirmed that the meeting between the two others at the locations and others took place with the knowledge and authorization of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Perez and Benjamin Netanyahu were completely co-oriented between them, said one of the sources. However, at the weekend, reports in the Israeli press suggested that Mr. Netanyahu had intervened close to the channel in recent weeks. No government official has openly confirmed the meetings. Mr. Perez celebrated his 88th birthday on Tuesday in an interview with IDF Radio. He would say only, "I will continue to work on the premise way for Israeli and Palestinian agreement." So that's what's going on right now. This was 2 days ago, and but this is not really what, you know, the media paints the picture that they want everybody to, I guess, understand. But this is not really what's going on. I found out that Mr. Perez, who is a top official for the Israeli government, is actually had secret peace talks. And so we want to rewind. This is our rewind session. Let's take it back. A little bit further.
The goal of creating a homeland for Jews seemed like a noble pursuit in 1897 when the Zionist movement became officially established. However, their dream of returning to Palestine has become a nightmare of violence, and there is no end in sight. Worse yet, the concept that Palestine is their homeland has turned out to be a tragic mistake. These white-skinned Ashkenazi Jews are not descendants of the original Jews of Palestine. There were no white people in Africa or Palestine 2,000 years ago. The medieval Europeans assumed that Jesus Christ, his mother, and the other original Jews looked just like the Europeans, which is why you can find Jesus with blue eyes and green eyes, and why his mother has such white skin. A Jewish historian looked into the ancestry of the Ashkenazi Jews and wrote the 13th tribe to show that their homeland is the area near the Caspian Sea. The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
Now that was time for the real news, the rewind session. And we're going to take it back a little. We're going to give you the real deal news. Okay, so this whole thing, you know, this peace talks, you got an Israeli. You know, you have Mr. Perez is one of the top officials in the Israeli government, you know, saying that, you know, we can, you know, let's get a peace deal going. But what is the real story behind this? I mean, you got to rewind all the way back and see that, number one, what is the main religion of the Palestinians and the Arabs? It is Islam. So the conflict is not, it's more than a land conflict, it's more of a spiritual conflict. You have Islam versus, how they painted Islam versus Judaism. But when you look back and you rewind it, you see that the Roman Catholic Church, who used Muhammad's wife, Khadijah, in order to build a leader for the Palestinians, in order for them to have a religion, in order for them to be able to sack and come in into Jerusalem. So now, this is the real story, that the Vatican now created a religion, and they created a conflict for the Jews. You know why they created a conflict? Because they have a solution. I mean, this is all in prophecy that it's going to happen like that. So when we rewind it, we look at a guy, we just recently looked at a report. A guy wrote an article called The Vatican Agenda, Joe Brennerman. And basically his whole article was the secret agenda of the United Nations to control Jerusalem and the Vatican's own personal agenda. And basically it was the whole mission of the United Nations and the Palestinians to, for the Vatican to control Jerusalem. So you look at Obama. Obama's trying to sign the peace treaty with Netanyahu. They're talking. We just read the article. They have Mr. Peres. He's about 88. He's one of the top officials for the Israeli government. They're trying to get these peace talks, but this is not. What happens is people don't understand. 1992, Israeli and Vatican relations began to happen. And what happened, there was a secret. Notice when I read the article, it said two times there were secret peace talks between Israeli President Shimon Peres. There were secret negotiations. Let me tell you about Shimon Peres. Shimon Peres, one of the Israeli officials, back in 1992, him and Minister Yossi Balin, they had secret talks with the Vatican. And on December 30th, 1993, there was an agreement. And nothing in the press, this never came out in the press. Nobody never heard about it. It was never on the news station. It wasn't written up. But the secret deal in December 30th, 1993, came out. And Shimon Peres, the same guy they were talking about today, on August 18th that came out, guess what happens? He signed a secret deal and it was called the legitimacy of the Israeli sovereignty over Jerusalem. And so what this deal entails is that the United Nations will have sovereignty and control over the entire city of Jerusalem at the expense of the Vatican. And so this sounds like the real goal of the Vatican was to attempt to take over the old city of Jerusalem. So when they created Islam and they came in and they sacked Jerusalem and they built the Dome of the Rock on the Mount, this was in a way to in order for them to act like they stole something from you, but they didn't steal it from you. And so the real goal of the Vatican was, so the peace treaty between the Israeli and the Palestinians was all a cover up because the Vatican created a conflict. They created the Palestinians' religion in order to have a conflict because they have a solution. And what is their solution? We're going to talk about that. We're going to find out about that. So. Because the whole thing. I don't know if you know about the Vatican. Is they believe that the literal promises of the descendants of Abraham falls on them. That's why you have the replacement theology. And in the scripture, it says what? That the woman will ride the beast. So if the woman rides the beast, this all makes sense. That the Vatican. Now, according to the same guy that quoted just a minute ago, he quoted that Shimon Peres, one of the Israeli top officials, he says, and I It says, he says, I'm going to go back and find it. He says, and I quote, that he will continue every premise way for Israeli and Palestinian agreement. Not knowing that that's a lie, and the government, people don't know that's a lie, because in 1993, he signed a secret deal with him and Yosef Berlin to allow the United Nations and the Vatican to control Jerusalem. So the Palestinians will never, ever have authority over that land. And so why did he sign this deal? Because the spirits and the powers that be allowed that to happen, because the Vatican now, since they can control and the United Nations can control Jerusalem, they can control what is built there, they can control everything. So this is all entailed into the beast program and to what they want to accomplish. So the main goal of the Vatican is, you know, the whole thing with Islam and creating Islam and, you know, them signing a peace deal that happened in 1993, you know. So the whole thing about Obama and Netanyahu, this is a cover-up. So what they want to have a mysterious individual unite the faiths. This is spelled out in the plan, that they want to have a mysterious individual unite the faiths, and he will be under control by the authority of the Vatican. Okay, so basically, you have the Pope, who, you know, is quote-unquote the false prophet, who will introduce this mysterious individual who will unite the faiths. So this so-called Messiah will be a bridge between, you know, Islam and Christianity and, you know, Judaism. But the whole thing about it is, all of this came out of the mother whore, which is the Vatican, Christianity. If you don't know, it comes from the whore. Judaism. All these things were created in order to cause a conflict, in order for them to have a solution to give to the mass public. So what's going to happen is this mysterious individual, you know, according to the Vatican agenda, this mysterious individual who will unite your faiths. We actually found out about how they actually said that on the Dome of the Rock, in which you could say the Vatican built, there's actually space in which Solomon's temple can be built right beside it, between the Dome of the Rock and the Dome of the Tablets. They say it can be built right beside it. So you look at it now and you say, okay, well, you know, if that's built beside it, won't that help to the plan of uniting the faiths, so-called? So the whole thing about the Vatican and Mr. Shamir Peres, who's saying that he's still working on his peace talks, but little do you know, he's lying to the media because he already did this, but it's a control so they can build on Mount Zion. So this secret deal. So the conclusion of the matter is, number one, first of all, the people that are in Jerusalem are not, quote-unquote, the people of the book. And we're going to get into that later, but that's a whole other topic. But the media, mass media, has lied. This media, this has been covered up far too long. A secret deal has already took place in which the United Nations and the Vatican control the sovereignty of Jerusalem and control this land. So when the peace talks are finally, you know, said and done and signed between Netanyahu and the Palestinians, this will be an illusion. This will be an illusion and basically a pinnacle to build the temple in order to, you know, have this prophecy fulfilled. So, you know, we want to go now into our, you know, and we want to move on in into our other section. But I want to
And not only the image, keep but even going down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way. Poetic Energy Network.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
So this is the red. This is the red and blue pill section. I hope you're enjoying your Shabbat and hope you're enjoying the show. We're listening to the Poetic Energy Network station. This is the way. I'm your Uwasad. Let's get it going. Hey, I want you to turn into your scriptures. To we're gonna talk about the red and blue pill. What's the red and blue pill? You got the way that everybody's saying yes, this is the way, and then you got, you know, then you have the truth, but then you have. I mean, it's either one or the other. You have a deep rabbit hole that says, hey, this is the way, this is how it's always been. And but we're going to go, it's almost like traditions of man versus the truth. So let's go to Shema for Exodus 20:8. So Exodus 28, we're gonna talk about the red and blue pill, the Sabbath versus Sunday. The Sabbath versus Sunday. Which one will you choose? Because you can't choose both. You got to pick one. But it says, Exodus 20:8, it says, remember the Sabbath day and set it apart. 6 days you labor, and you shall do your work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahuwah, your Elohim. You do no work on it. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For 6 days Yahuwah made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore Yahuwah blessed the seventh day and set it apart. Now let's go to some more. Before we make a conclusion, let's read some more about This is the red pill. Let's go to Exodus 31:13. Exodus 31:13. This is what it says. It says, and you speak to the children of Yisrael, saying, my Sabbaths are you are to guard by all means. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I, Yahuwah, am setting you apart. He said to guards. If you got a pit bull in your backyard and or in your house, he will guard your house. I guarantee you. Somebody tries to come up in there, it's gonna be trouble. You know. So guarding means to don't let nobody touch it. You know. So don't let nobody say anything about it, because that's something that you keep. He says it's a sign. So if you don't have his sign, then are you his or who are you? Let's move on. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 56. And this is the red pill. Isaiah 56. And 3. This is what he says. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who becomes strong in it. Guarding, there's that word again, guarding my Sabbath, lest you profane it, and guarding his right hand from doing any evil. Once again, guarding it. Think about a pit bull. He's going to guard it with his life. Yeshayahu 66 and 22. Let's go there. Isaiah 66 and 22. So because you got a lot of people that says, okay, because the mass, we're going to get into the mass deception of the blue pill, and we're going to show you how deep the rabbit hole really goes for this Sunday, in which they say the law's not done, the law's done away with, and all this. But let's, nobody never considers this verse right here. Yeshayahu 22 says, Yeshayahu Isaiah 66 and 22 says, for as the new heavens and the new earth I make stand before me, declares Yahuwah, so shall your seed and your name shall stand. And it shall be that from new moon to new moon, from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come and worship before me, declares Yahuwah. So you're talking about, this is, if you can see this, this is a prophecy of the millennium or the thousand years, whatever you want to call it. And he's saying we still keeping the Sabbath. So how is it that that is done away with? How is it that nobody keeps it? How is it that, you know, it's another day? Because when we read back in Exodus, he said the Sabbath was the seventh day. He rested on the seventh day. And if you don't know, in Hebrew, the days are from evening to evening. Evening to evening. And you know, according to, you know, the pagans, you know, back in the day, they created, you know, names for days. So every day was named after a pagan mighty one or quote-unquote god. And Sunday was, guess what, the day of the sun, who is the incarnation of the sun, Baal. So let's get into the blue pill. We have the main culprit behind this blue pill, behind this major deception is, you probably know him. They call him Constantine the Great, but I don't know what's so great about him. But he says, look, this is what he said. This is what he quote. This is what he quote. This is one of the quotes he said. You can feel his heart. And a lot of Christians revere him, but this is what he says. He says, quote, it appeared unworthy thing to, in the celebration of this most holy feast. He's talking about Easter. He says, we should follow the practice of the Jews. He says, we should follow the practice of the Jews who have impotentially defiled their hands with immense sin and are therefore deservedly afflicted with blindness of soul. Let us have nothing to do in common with the detestable Yahudim crowd. He says, for we have received from our Savior a different way. So, of course, you know, back in the day, I mean, you're talking about, this quote was from, I mean, around 300 A.D. So you're talking about, you know, the Messiah walked the earth, Yahushua walked the earth about, you know, between, you know, 1 A.D., I mean, you got 1 A.D., and you got 30-something A.D., and you had the prophets, you had Paul and Shaul, and you had them walking the earth. So it wasn't that long, a couple hundred years after this. So you still had, you know, you had the sack, you had the temple destroyed in 70 A.D., and some of the Yahudim were scattered. But from Jerusalem, but you have Constantine saying, hey, we, you know, we're going to do something from other than Yahudim going to do, because we receive something else from our Savior, a different way. But who was Constantine's Savior? You know who his Savior is? It's a scary thought, you know, for Christians out there listening in. But Constantine's Savior was it was Satan, because Satan masquerades around as an angel of light, or Malak of light, but, you know, he's deceptive. And so, guess what? Let's quote Constantine again in his blue pill. He says, on the vulnerable day of the sun, let the magistrates and the people residing in cities, let all the shops be closed. This is March 7th, 321 A.D. And Constantine worshipped, he was a pagan worshiper who worshipped the sun. So that's why he says, on the vulnerable day of the sun, he says, He says out of his own mouth and changes his own authority and says, hey, he changes the word, tries to change the word authority. And we know that Daniel talks about Daniel 7 and 25, and it says, he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And to think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given into his hand for times and times and half to be divided. So I mean, that's kind of, you know, in that range of that prophecy that he said he thinks that he can change the laws and the times. He says no. We went back and said, you know, looked at Yahuwah's word, and it said that the seventh day was a Sabbath to rest and do no work. But Constantine says on the vulnerable day of the sun, let you rest. And so guess what? His word, Constantine's word, is pretty much deceived the whole world. So Hashatan working through him has deceived the whole world. So now people think and actually believe that, quote unquote, Sunday is now the Sabbath. Because Constantine's whole agenda was for pagans and the Christian worshipers to, he wanted to merge the faiths, and he wanted to, he brought paganism into the real faith. And what happened is he created this religion, this mystery religion, which is Christianity. And so I'm going to find some more quotes right here. We looked at, it said, I quote, the church made a scarred day of Sunday largely because it was the weekly festival of the sun. It was defined the Christian policy to take over the pagan festivals endearing to the people by traditions and giving them a Christian significance. Now look at this. Pope Celestia I, he was around about 314 through 335, you know. This is what he says right here. He says, he was the one that finally made the Sunday keeping officially by decreeing it the rest of the Sabbath by transferring it to, quote unquote, the Lord's Day, Sunday. Yeah, because you have people say, oh, yeah, it's the Lord's Day, but who is the Lord? You look it up in Strong's, the Lord means the Baal, and Baal means Satan, so that's not Yahuwah. So I don't get it. What is going on? You got the red and blue pill. You got and it goes even further. It goes even further. I mean, you have look at this other quote right here. Oh man, look at this. Pope Celestial. Listen to what he says right here. This is what he says. He was the same pope. He is the same pope to decree that the rest of the Sabbath be transferred to the Lord's Day. He is the one. He is one of the culprits behind Constantine. So Constantine kind of starts the ball, and you have the popes who believe that, you know, Peter and all these other person is the leader of the church. They only believe Yahushua is the leader of the church. But look at this. I'm gonna show you even deeper. The rabbit hole goes even deeper. The blue pill goes even deeper. Look at this. You have Pope Gregory I. This is what he says. I don't know if you're going to believe this, but Pope Gregory I. This is the spirit on Christians. This is what really is in their heart, because when you follow a religion that a man made, you become just like him. And so all the things that they say, you ever talk to nothing against, you know, Christians out there. I used to be a Christian. But then I used to do the same thing. They regurgitate what is fed to them because they can't feed themselves. They haven't learned to practice, I guess you say, self-autonomy and learn it for yourself. So what happens is they repeat and regurgitate what is already said. So look, listen to what Pope Gregory says. Gregory, the servant of, quote-unquote, Baal, but, it, you know, it says the Lord. It says to his most beloved sons and Roman citizens, it has come to my ears that certain men of perverse spirit have sown among you some things which are wrong and opposed to the set apart, or he says, holy faith. So it is forbidding that work be done on the Sabbath. I gotta play this real quick. Hold on. Did we hear what he just said? I'm gonna read that again. Hold on. He says, Pope Gregory the First, he says, so as to forbid that work be done on the Sabbath? Hold on. Now, I thought that in the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, that he said that no work be done on the Sabbath. But he says, these men are perverse who do work on this, who say that you're not supposed to do work on this. Let's read further, because it gets even deeper. He says, what else can I say about these preachers of the Antichrist? Christians, these are your leaders. These are your leaders, people who think because you keep the commandments that you are now the Antichrist or the anti-Messiah. Hold on. I'm gonna rewind it again, and so I don't know if you heard. Hold on. Okay, he says that are wrong and opposed to the holy faith, as so forbid that any work be done on the Sabbath. What else did I say about these who call the preachers of the anti, you know, quote unquote, Christ or Messiah, who, when he comes, will cause the Sabbath as well as the Lord's Day to be kept free from all his work? For because he pretends to die and rise again, he wishes that, quote unquote, Baal, or, you know, people say the Lord, they will be in reverence. And because he compels people to Judaize, and that to bring them back outward to the law and subject them to the Jews, he wishes the Sabbath be observed. you have to be kidding me. He says that the preachers of the Antichrist, we're going to sum it up, the preachers of the Antichrist will preach that the Sabbath should be observed. Now, I mean, that should end it right there. If you don't see how deep the rabbit hole, it goes even deeper. That's just one person, but it goes even deeper. But if you're saying that it should not be observed, remember what Yahushua said in the New Testament. He says, any man that preaches men not to do so, you know, will be called least in the kingdom. So he's preaching not to do this. And notice that these Christian preachers, yes, we're going to call them out, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, the list goes on. We'll call you out, and we'll continue to call you out until you confront the situation and say, hey, you're preaching the same thing as Pope Gregory is preaching. He is your master. He is your King of Kings. The Pope is now your King of Kings. You don't believe in the Messiah, because if you believed in him, he said, any man who says that he knows him and does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So all these pastors, we're going to go hard, and we're going to say, hey, man, this truth is the truth. We've been there. We were on the wrong path, and yes, we were on the wrong path, and guess what? We were liars. And so we're going to confront the fact that these preachers are liars, because some of them even know the truth, and they go up there every Sunday, quote-unquote Sunday, every Baal day, and they preach about Baal, and they preach about falsehood. You look at preachers like Reggie White, who, you know, if you have a chance, go and check out his testimony. And he agreed that these preachers up there, they're talking about these things, and they know these things are wrong. So what is going on? What is going on? And we got to find out. You got to find out. What pill are you gonna take? So. We want to move on. Because it's we can go on, we can go on all day about that one. But let's read. We want to read something real quick. Let's go to Exodus 20. We want to read about the Ten Commandments, and let's talk about that, because You have to make a choice. Red or blue pill? Okay, Exodus 20, it says, and Elohim spoke the word, saying, I am Yahuwah, the Elohim who brought you out of the land of Mizraim, out of the house of slavery. You have no mighty ones against my face. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm reading out of the Scriptures version. If you don't get a chance, you can check it out, Scriptures version. You can look it up. But verse 4, Exodus 20, verse 4, it says, do not make for yourself the carved image or the likeness of any which is in the heavens above, or which is in the earth beneath, or which is in the waters above the earth. You do not bow down to nor serve them, for I am Yahuwah, your Elohim. I am a jealous El, visiting the crookedness of your fathers on the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving commitment to thousands, to those who love me and guard my command. Oh, there's that word again, guarding. It says, do not bring the name of Yahuwah, your Elohim, to naught. That means bring it to disuse. So people out there, you don't want to say the name. You want to replace the name for Baal or, quote-unquote, the Lord, Anani, whatever you want to use without giving reverence to the Father. This is what he says. He says, Yahuwah does not leave the one unpunished who brings his name to naught. So somebody told me before, if you're bold enough to take his name out, be bold enough to take his punishment when he gives it to you. It says, remember the Sabbath day to set it apart. 6 days you labor and you shall do your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahuwah your Elohim. You do not work on it. You know, your son, nor your daughter, nor your mate, your male servant, your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger within your gates. For 6 days Yahuwah made the heavens and the earth, the sea and this, all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. That is today. Today is the seventh day. He didn't say Sunday. He didn't say the first day. He said the seventh day. Therefore, Yahuwah blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart. Respect your father and mother, so that your days may be prolonged upon the soil which Yahuwah your Elohim has given you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not cover your neighbor's house, nor do not cover your neighbor's wife, your male servants, nor your female servants, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor his donkey, or whatever belongs to your neighbor. So, an amazing truth that I found out is that when you look at it, because you know you have Christians, you have the theology that hey, what happened is you know, these were done away with, but and it, because they say, you know, Yahusha says in the New Testament, or you know, people still use, you know, JC or quote unquote Jesus Christ, and that's a whole other subject we're gonna get into later. But they say, you know, he says the new commandments are now, you know, he says love Yahuwah your Elohim. We're gonna read it right now. Matter of fact, we're gonna read it. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. We gotta hurry up because we have a special guest that, oh, man, it's going to be awesome. We have a special guest that's going to come online, and it's going to be a real treat. So we have to get scooting a little bit. But turn to Deuteronomy 6 and 5. All right. Deuteronomy 6 and 5. This is what the Messiah, this is what he quotes. This is what he quotes right here, and he says, but now people believe that this is mysterious. But when you look back at the 10 words, the four commandments talked about the Father. The last six deal with your neighbor, but guess what he says right here? Deuteronomy 6 and 5, he says, you shall love Yahuwah, your Elohim. He says, with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your might. So when Yahusha says what he says in the New Testament, it does not negate what was said, because I'm going to show you. Go to Leviticus 19. Go to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and 18 says, guess what this says? Guess what this says? Look at this. Remember the two commandments. He says, love Yahuwah your Elohim with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second commandment is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself, right? Where did he get that from? Okay. Leviticus 19:18 says, do not take vengeance or revenge against the children of your people. It says, the children of your people, and you shall guard, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahuwah. Wow. So he says this. Look, he says, you shall guard, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this is not no new. This is not something new that you know Yahusha comes out with. And let's go. Let's turn real quick. Oh, we got a scoop. Let's go to Matthew 22. I hope you have the scriptures with you. And you're turning pretty quick. We gotta move. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Let's go to 36. He says, look, he says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the Torah? And Yahusha said to him, you shall love Yahuwah your Elohim with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind. There he goes again, Deuteronomy 6 and 5. And it says, first, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the Torah and the prophets. Okay, so when you look back at the 10 words, okay, he said, you know, you shall love Yahuwah. Those are commandments are, you know, you have to keep those commandments. You love them because you keep the Sabbath. You don't have nobody before him. You don't have any idols. You have any images. You honor his name. You know, that deals with him. And then when you look at the other side, you say, okay, love my neighbor. So if I love my neighbor, I'm not going to kill him. I'm not going to steal from him. I'm not going to cover his wife. I'm not going to cover his goods, his cars, whatever he has, I'm not going to do. So the question is, if people say you can't murder people, you should honor your mother and father, then why don't people take his name? Why people still take his name in vain? Why do people still not keep the Sabbath and don't care about the Sabbath and replace it with the blue pill, Sunday, instead of the red pill, the Sabbath? So there's more scriptures we want to dive into. We just don't have time because we got to get to our special guest. But right now I want to move it on to the fact of the day. Yes. It's the fact of the day. Man, we're talking about the letter J. Man, I don't know if you know about the letter J, man, but it gets deep. Okay, the letter G, I'm going to read this. This is credit right here. Big shout out to Scott Nelson right here for this article I found. But I'm going to read this real quick for you. It says, there was a quite inconsistency in effectivity of the name of the name as means of protection. Pronounced it improperly, they say. I'm sorry. This quote right here was a quote that was mocking the early believers, but yet gave reverence to them about the name of the Messiah, Yahusha. It says, and they are quite in insistency in the efficiency of the name, which means of protection. Pronouncing it improperly, they say, is ineffective. Greek or Latin will not do. It must be said in a barbarian tongue, quote-unquote Hebrew. Silly they are, finding one standing next to a statue of Zeus or Apollo or some other god shouting, see here, I blaspheme and strike it. But it is powerless against me because I am a quote-unquote Nazarene. Okay, look, you know why Greek or Latin won't do? Greek or Latin or any other language won't do? I'm going to tell you why. Because the J, who now people associate the name of Jesus, the J wasn't even, it's not in Hebrew, Greek, or Latin. before the 12th century, the letter J did not exist in Old English language. It says the second letter J have never existed in Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, or Latin languages, even to this very day. This shows that no J word could have been pronounced 2,000 years ago. Sometime during the early 12th century, the J began to showing up in obscure languages in the Middle English language. It says, over the course of the next 500 years, infatuation with the new sound caused the letters like I and Y in the English to be replaced by the J. This was especially true by male names that began with I or J because the hard sound it would make. Again, considerably more masculine. Names like Ames would become James, Johannan, John, and so on. During this period, oh man, listen to this. It says in 1384, John Wycliffe translated the New Testament in English for the first time. His only source was the Latin Vulgate. Wycliffe continued to use Latin spelling of the pronunciation of Jesus. It says the printing press had not been invented yet, and only a few hand copies of Wycliffe Bible were produced. In the 1450, the Gutenberg invented the printing press. Then in 1526, William Tisdale translated the New Testament to English from the Latin Vulgate to become an additional help from the Greek manuscripts. Tisdale wanted the Bible to be translated into a language of common people, and many languages translated were printed with the help of the printing press. Tisdale was the first to use the letter J. Tyndale was the first to use the letter J, spelling the name Jesus. This is a spelling that hands with many literate English commentators soon became pronouncing publicly as Jesus, which we can get into, you know, more and more there. But we're going to cut it short right there because we got to have our special guest on the line. But the fact of the matter is that if you were 2,000 years, if we could rewind. If we could rewind, you would have seen the Messiah. You would have said, Jesus, he would have looked at you and said, man, who are you talking to? That's the story. And we're going to move on. Okay, Miss Nikki is on the line. Miss Nikki, are you there?
Hello.
Miss Nikki, how are you doing? Everybody out there, I want to introduce right now our special guest. Her name is Nikki. She is a former model of the model industry. And so she was in different, you know, videos. We won't get too much in detail. Dipset, Juez Antenna, Rick Ross, Trina, you know, goes on. But Nikki, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you good. I hear you good.
Okay.
I hear you good. Okay. Okay. I wanna ask you real quick. We got about 5 minutes, so we gotta
shoot. Okay.
Yeah. We got about 5 minutes. But I wanna ask you because we have a lot of children out there that look up to, you know, models and different things like that, but why did you get into the industry in the first place?
I got into the industry because it was just something that excited me. It was the lifestyle. It was like when I signed one contract, the ball just kept rolling from there. And, you know, it was what I wanted, and that's what appealed to me at that time.
Okay. So everything's rolling, and it's maybe or not what you expected, but what began to develop? Like, what was the moment when you was like, hold up, like, yo,
what's this? It's like this, like, the higher you get, the more demonic influence there's going to be. So, I mean, like, people that are just starting out, they probably don't know majority of what really goes on, but the higher you climb, the more you're exposed. So, I mean, like, you literally have people worshiping Satan. You literally have people just doing all type of just evil things that are not, the average person would not believe. So, yeah, so it's really like, you know, I mean, you can hear about it in music or in clothes or and stuff like that. So you have to make a decision. Well, I had to make a decision that, like, why would the Most High want me to be associated with people that are not even keeping his word? Matter of fact, they're talking about the opposite of his word. So if I say that I love him and I love Yahuwah, how do I love him and I'm being associated with people who hate him, who hate his word? You know, so that was a point that that kind of like opened my eyes right there to back away from that situation, because at the time it was like, oh, I'm not really doing nothing bad, I'm not doing this, but even just me being in that atmosphere, having fellowship with them, you know, just being in that atmosphere was enough right there.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you wake up and you begin to see what's really going on. So like what? So tell me about the transition out of there. So tell me about what about the truth? What is it about the truth? Like, how do you come to truth? We got about less than 3 minutes, but we can squeeze it in there. Tell me about the truth.
Okay. Well, it all started. For some reason, I kept noticing, like, why was the word Lord? It was all capitalized in the Bible. And then that's when I figured out, it was actually replaced. The word Lord was not always there. It was Yahuwah that was there. And then from that, it came to, why aren't they keep telling us in church, in the church I used to go to, they never used to tell us any laws. I never even knew all the Ten Commandments. I didn't know none of that, nothing. No one's like anything at all. So I'm wondering, like, why are you not telling, like, the whole truth? Every time I would go to church, you would go, oh, you're going to get your blessing today, and you know, don't worry about your haters, and, like, stuff like that. Like, why aren't they really saying scripture? And I was thinking to myself one day, what is the point in being a good person and keeping the laws if everyone would get into heaven? Then Yahuwah led me to the scripture that says, not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So, I mean, that was like a big light bulb, because I was also led to read Revelation 14:4 that says that the 144, they kept themselves pure, and they followed the Lamb wherever he goes. And if I say that I love Yahushua, the Messiah, I have to follow him. I can't be in the world, which is the wide gate, when I'm supposed to enter through the narrow gate. You see?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
I know you had like 2 minutes. So.
Yeah, we got less than a minute. We're probably gonna have you again and maybe, you know, get some more into it. But I mean, that is awesome, you know, because it's so many people out there looking for something, looking for purpose, but they can't find it in what they're looking for. And
right.
So I thank you for being on the show. And we got less than 20 seconds, but we got to get a plug out. This is the way on Poetic Energy Network, and I want you to tune in to next week, man. We got another special guest. We got James Green, used to be on Drew Hill. So I want you to listen. This is the Poetic Energy Network, the way, and we're out of here.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. It's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way, the way, the way, the poetic energy network.